MacCast, Friday, March 18th, 2005. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, a show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is a show where we discuss all things Macintosh. All right, we have just a ton of stuff to cover. Actually, I mentioned in the last show that we had a ton of stuff, and I did not get to all of it. I actually skipped over a large section, so I even have some leftovers from Wednesday to run through with you. So we're going to get right to it and jump straight into the news. So here we go. So Apple sales are going good and strong, at least according to Credit for Swiss Boston, which is saying that Apple is basically outpacing the industry in the second quarter in terms of sales. They're predicting that Mac sales will rise to an estimated 35% for this year over last, and will be well above the estimated industry average of 10%. Okay, so there was a guy in the UK, his name was, or is, Benjamin Cohen, and he registered the domain itunes.co.uk. On Tuesday, he was ordered by the courts in the UK to return that domain to Apple because they're saying he made an abusive registration, and they ruled that the domain needed to be returned. I guess the logic here is that iTunes is a trademarked name, and you shouldn't be able to register. There's laws, I guess, in effect that don't allow you to register trademarked names if you're not the trademark holder. So Apple won that back. I'm not sure how I feel about it. You know, I think it's open for anybody to register a domain, so you should be able to get the domain you want. And if he wants itunes.co.uk, then he should be able to have it. And if Apple wants it back, they should be forced to pay for it. I don't know. A lot of people are probably going to disagree with me on this one, but the term is sometimes called cyber squatting, and I think it's gotten some negative press recently. I'm not sure that just because you have a trademark on a term like iTunes, that doesn't necessarily mean that any domain with iTunes in it should just automatically go to you. I don't know. That's kind of how I feel. Give me feedback. I'm sure a lot of you are going to disagree with me. So by now, we all know about the Mac Mini, and we all know how amazing it is to have such a powerful machine in such a small package. And many people may be wondering what you can do in the same form factor with a PC and how it might compare to the Mac Mini. Well, Extreme Tech did a great comparison of a Mac Mini versus a VIA Mini IXT system PC. Well, right off the bat right there, the name Mac Mini just blows away a VIA Mini ITX system PC. But anyway, they did a comparison. They built two machines priced out at $800 each. And basically, and if you read the review, Apple really kind of smokes anything that you can do with a build-your-own type PC. But anyway, I have a link in the show notes over to the face-off, and you might want to check that one out and just take a read of it and see what you think. I will say in the mini PC's defense that they did use some sort of strange processor that I had never heard of. It's not an Intel or AMD, and I'm sure that has to do with heat issues in such a small form factor. So, you know, maybe if someone can figure out how to get a Pentium or a AMD processor into a smaller form factor, the results might be different. Next, earlier this week, there was a little interesting thing going on over at Google. Google had put out something called Google X, which was done by Chiaki Oezama and was talked about on the company's blog page. I have a link to the show note to the company blog. But basically, he put together a version of the Google search engine where the different Google services were in little icons above the Google search bar, and it had a Macintosh OS X dock effect to it. So you would roll over each little service icon, say images or web search or, you know, whichever search you wanted to do, and it would actually do the magnification effect and say what the service was underneath it, and then you could click and then search on that service. Really cool looking thing. It was up on Tuesday, I think, and then it was taken down on Wednesday, and then it came back up on Thursday. So I have a link to it from the show notes if you want to check it out. It's pretty cool, a lot of fun. nice little homage to OS X and to Apple. No one really knows why it was taken down. There's some speculation that Apple may have said something about it because they try and so closely protect the Aqua user interface. But anyway, it's back up, and take a look if you want to have a OS X kind of version of the Google search. If you guys remember back at Macworld, I believe it was, Steve announced a new program that Apple had for iPod accessories called the Made for iPod Logo program. And basically, it is a logo that you can put on Apple-approved iPod accessories. Well, it turns out Apple wants a large cut of the money that manufacturers will make for the right to put that logo on their products. Initially, they wanted 10% of the retail price in order to get that logo on your product. Now they're saying they want 10% of the wholesale price. But if Apple's able to get this, they're certainly going to be making a lot of money off of third-party accessories. I don't know. It's not being received very well by the manufacturers, and probably rightfully so. But so we'll just have to see how this one plays out. It could be good news financially for Apple, but maybe a little tough for those of you those people who want to get into making iPod accessories and want to get that little logo on their products. All right, next is kind of a fun little thing to check out. There's a guy who put together a little iPod Shuffle hack. Well, not necessarily an iPod Shuffle hack, but created a set of retro headphones that are, you know, basically don't have any cords. He basically took an iPod, found an old pair of retro, those big cup earphones that completely cover your ears, and inserted the iPod Shuffle into the headphones so there were no cords, sort of like the wireless FM radio headphones, and created his own kind of style MP3 player. Kind of reminded me a lot of the old roller disco headphones, or you'd see the guys in the 70s, maybe in the beaches in California, roller skating, and they'd have those big headphones on with the antenna coming out. In this case, there's no antenna, but it's really kind of funky looking iPod hack. You can check it out. There's a link from the show notes if you want to see how this guy did it. So I don't know. I'm going to tell you guys about a new podcaster in town, and there's probably going to be a lot of people that are going to just want to rush out and hear this one. Former vice presidential candidate John Edwards is going to become a podcaster. He's going to be doing a once-a-week podcast, and he's going to answer next week. He's going to be answering questions and update you on his family and projects that he's working on. So it's over at johnedwards.com if you want to check it out. I'm not so sure, I guess it's good for podcasting that we're getting politicians in on it. Maybe. I don't know. Actually, it's probably really bad for podcasting. Never mind. Okay, this week I learned a new term, and I'm going to share it with you guys. It's called pod shanking, and it is the process of doing a direct audio transfer from one iPod to another iPod, or from one digital audio device to another digital audio device. Basically, it's a hack. It's a way to get music from an iPod to another iPod. And what someone did is they actually just went out and they got a pair of iTalks, which I guess have a line-in port, and went from the headphone jack, so the line-out jack of one iPod, plugged it into the iTalk of the other iPod, and actually did a real-time recording. So they played an MP3 file on the first iPod and then recorded it on the second iPod. The bummer there is the iTalk records at a really low sample rate, so it's not a very good recording. But I actually did this, not knowing that it was called pod shanking, with my new iRiver. I got an iRiver IFP 795 digital recorder so that I can do remote podcasts, and you can look forward to those. But basically, I just, as to try out the line-in recording on my iRiver, I plugged my iPod headphones out, plugged it into the line-in on the iRiver, and recorded some audio off of it, and it worked great, and I guess that's called pod shanking. So there you go, a new term for you to use. So if you're an audiophile, or know anybody who is an audiophile, someone who's really into high-quality audio, you'll probably be excited about this next product. There's a company called Cyber Audio that is making a amplifier for iPods, but the trick on this one is that it uses hi-fi. It's a hi-fi amplifier, and it uses tubes. So tubes are, I guess, are supposed to be the best way or produce the most high, the highest quality audio. I don't know. I'm not a big audiophile, but this is what I've heard or, you know, kind of hear through the grapevine. So Cyber Audio, check it out. There's no pricing on the product. It's probably going to be very expensive. I've seen the similar amplifiers for computers or iPods, and they tend to be very, very expensive. But if you're really critical about your audio, you may be a product you want to look into. I have a link from the show notes. The website is cyberportal.com, and that's P-S-I-B-E-R. All right, we've talked a couple times before on past shows about Podbricks, which is a, I don't know, I guess it's an art company, or this company actually produces limited edition Lego figurines with Apple themes. They're sort of Apple-themed Lego figurines, and they are now doing a giveaway of a one-of-a-kind Steve Wozniak's Podbricks prototype. It's a sweepstakes. I have a link from the show notes. It's podbricks.com is the website. Go over and check it out. I also put up on the MacCast blog, maccast.com, a picture of this little Lego mini figurine of Steve Wozniak. It's kind of, you know, I think they're kind of cool. The Podbricks things, you actually have to go online. They sign up for their mailing list, and they will tell you when they're having a new release. And they've had two releases so far. I believe the first one was a Steve Jobs keynote. Oh, no, the first one was an iPod figurine. It was the silhouette figure iPod guy from the TV commercials. And then the second one was a Steve Jobs keynote. So you might want to just check that out. Podbricks.com. So there is a really cool music festival that happens every year in Texas, and it's called the South by Southwest Music Festival. SXSW, as you'll see it as an acronym when it's typed out. And Apple is going to be giving away or producing new custom iTunes prepaid cards for the iTunes store. But these are a little different than the normal ones that they put out. Currently, they have, if you go to Target and different retailers, you'll see you can buy like a $15 iTunes card, and it has a number on the back. And when you log into iTunes Music Store, you scratch it off, enter the number in, and you get that dollar amount added as credit to your iTunes Music Store account. These new cards are going to actually feature some of the bands or some musicians, and they're going to be actually linked to specific songs or specific albums or specific playlists. So when you enter them in, you actually get that specific music. And over 200 of the bands appearing at the South by Southwest Music Festival are going to be distributing their own special limited edition iTunes cards, and they're doing it different ways. It's pretty much however the band wants to give them away. So that's really cool. Just a different way to distribute music, and it's nice to see that Apple is supporting. I believe South by Southwest has some more independent type bands, so they're, you know, Apple's stepping up to the plate there. So that's good to see. Okay, let's see what's next here. Apple has updated iWork and Keynote. They updated Keynote to version 2.0.1, and Pages was updated to 1.0.1. These are both apparently minor updates and address some reliability issues that happened in some isolated cases with both programs. There is a website, if you're not familiar, called macjams.com. If you are big into GarageBand, you may want to head over there and pick up. They are giving away 100 free GarageBand loops, and it's part of a contest. I have a link from the show notes, macjams.com, if you want to pick up some free loops to use in your GarageBand stuff that you're working on. All right, next I'm going to talk about probably what is the biggest news story I kind of saw floating around the internet today, or at least around the internet regarding Apple today. If you guys may or may not be familiar with a Norwegian software developer named Jan Johansson. This is the guy that is responsible for cracking DVD encryption, which was a big coup. It was a big news story a couple years ago. He cracked the encryption that the movie industry put on DVDs and made it possible for people to make duplicates of commercial DVDs. Well, he's moved on. He's kind of been targeting Apple as of recently, and he was actually able to crack Apple's digital rights management that they have on their protected AAC files for the iTunes Music Store, and that had been rolled into a project called HIM, which later became JHIM, I believe. And, well, today he and three other developers put out a new piece of software. It's called Pi Musique, and that Pi is P-Y, and it's for Python, which is the technology that this software builds upon. It's currently available as source code or as a Windows EXE, and what it does is it provides an interface to the iTunes Music Store, a custom interface, so you don't have to use iTunes to access the Music Store. You use this Pi Musique program, and it gives you the ability to buy music through the iTunes Store, but the big deal here is that the tracks that you buy come across without Apple's digital rights management, so they're not copy protected. And it also allows you to re-download music that you purchased in the past. So this is a huge thing. I'm sure Apple's going to jump right on this and get it shut down as quickly as possible. Not a good thing for Apple. But anyway, it happened. It's big news today, and I just want to let you guys know about it. I'm certainly not endorsing it. I'm not endorsing you going out and stealing music. I am a big fan of the iTunes Music Store. I buy quite a bit of music there, and I feel that it's a good thing to support. It's definitely the best music store that I've found. I've tried several of them, Sony, Napster, and many of the others, and I think it just has the best experience. It makes it the easiest to buy music, and you know, I definitely recommend that you use the iTunes Music Store if you're looking for new music. And speaking of new music and different ways to distribute and sell music, there is a band in LA called Sexahol. I'm not familiar with the band, but the news is that they are putting out their first album on a iPod Shuffle. It is going to have 12 tracks that are going to come preloaded on your choice of a 512 megabyte or 1 gigabyte iPod Shuffle. And it's going to be priced at $109 and $159 US respectively. They're going to follow that release with a CD in April. But I think we're going to start to see more and more of this, bands and artists putting out music on MP3 players preloaded and selling them. I mean, you can put a large volume of music. We'll see, I think, bands doing collections, greatest hits and things like that, putting them out on limited edition iPod Shuffles, maybe with you know, screen printing on it, so it would have band logos and images and things like that. Pretty cool. Just a cool, new, different way to distribute music. And this band seems to be getting a lot of press for it, so it'll, you know, hopefully be good for them. So how much music do you think you can fit on a device as small as the iPod Shuffle? Right now we have a gigabyte, but if Toshiba has anything to say about it, we will see 4 gigabytes very soon. Toshiba is showing off a MP3 player using their new 4 gigabyte 0.85-inch hard drive. So they have a 4 gigabyte hard drive that is in a 0.85-inch form factor. That is tiny, you guys. So we might see 4 gigabyte MP3 players in the size of a lot of today's current flash players like the iPod Shuffle. Wouldn't that be amazing? Okay, this next little bit of news, I don't know, I ran across, it's interesting from just being Apple news, but I'm not really sure what it's all about, and maybe somebody, if you know, you can fill me in on it. Apple acquired a company earlier this month called Schemasoft. They are a Vancouver, British Columbia-based company, and according to the company's website, they are into developing software components that facilitates the workflow of digital information. So kind of vague as to exactly what they do. I guess that quote's from their website, and it's unclear what Apple's interest is and what the team that they're bringing over from that company will be doing at Apple. So if anybody knows what's going on there, please let me know, or if you hear something in the rumor mill about what Schemasoft is bringing to Apple, I'd love to hear about it. So next we have a announcement from GM, General Motors, and this is something that I'm going to comment on because I have wondered why it has taken so long for this to happen. GM has announced that starting in their with their some of their 2006 models, the stereos on their cars are going to have a line input, a little eighth-inch mini jack line in, and a setting on the stereo for an auxiliary so that you can plug in an iPod or an MP3 player or some other sort of line-in device and play it through your car stereo. This just seems like a logical, simple interface to me and very common and compatible with a lot of different devices. And a friend of mine actually was looking for this feature in his car as an add-on to his car. He's looking to buy a new stereo, and we thought, well, you know, might as well buy one that has a line in, because that way you can plug your iPod in. All you have to do is run a cable from the headphone jack right into the stereo. Well, we were shopping around, and there aren't even any stereos on the market that have this, and it just seems so logical. Everybody's building these, you know, custom interfaces. I think Alpine has one, and I think Monster has one, and you know, for hooking up your iPod through the iPod dock into your car stereo. But the simplest way seems a little line-in jack. I have a cassette adapter in my car, and I've also tried out a lot of the FM tuners, and those are just kind of kludgy and clunky. It just seems like, you know, why not just have a line-in? Well, GM's finally doing it, and hopefully a lot of other car manufacturers will follow, because I think this just makes a lot of sense. The other one that makes a lot of sense and is coming and we'll see is Bluetooth. But until we have Bluetooth in our iPods or our MP3 players as a standard feature, that's not really going to take off. And, you know, the line in, just a little eighth inch mini line in jack on your car stereo, is just seems to make sense to me. But, you know, maybe that's just me. So today Apple opened another retail store. This one is in Jacksonville, Florida. So if you live near Jacksonville, I highly recommend you head down to the St. John's Town Center and check out your new Apple store. Also, if you're just a person and you live anywhere near an Apple store, I highly recommend going and checking it out. It's a really unique shopping experience. I think it's one of the best places to find new products based around the Apple. A lot of knowledgeable people there. Actually, one of the coolest features, I think, for new users, especially if you're a PC switcher, and you can look on Apple's website, retail store website, to find out information on when these things happen. But almost all the Apple stores have the Apple Theater, which is normally kind of in the back. They have a large screen, video screen, and kind of roundhouse type seating, and they give presentations on different topics, specifically like iLife topics, iMovie, iDVD, things like that. So if you're looking to learn those programs or just get the basics down, they offer the classes for free. You just have to head in, and they'll have a knowledgeable person do the presentation, and you can get some information, and it's a great way to experience Apple's products and what Apple has to offer in a nice setting. Okay, next we've talked a little bit about the Mac Mini and some of the speculation that there's going to be people turning it into a media center, a place to you know, have a Macintosh in their living room, hook it to your television, your stereo, and sort of run all your media off it. And obviously something that needs to go around that is some sort of software to make all that happen. There is a project I guess it's a project. It's called Center Stage Project, centerstageproject.com. And they just released their very first alpha build. I believe it's 0.1 version of their software. And their software is a home media software for the Apple Macintosh, and it was inspired by the Mac Mini, according to the website. And so you might want to head over and check that out. You can download the alpha. I don't think it has a lot of functionality. I think right now it searches out and finds all of the movies that are on your hard drive and lets you play them in full screen mode. But check it out if you're looking for a way to build a Mac Media Center in your living room. Okay, wow, I think we've actually reached the end of the news for the evening. We've got the last item here, and it's actually a pretty big one. I think this is pretty cool. In the latest Tiger build, QuickTime 7 has audio and video recording directly built into QuickTime. That'll only be if you have the QuickTime 7 Pro feature, but you'll have the ability to record audio and video right into QuickTime. I think that's cool. It holds good promise for podcasters, and I'm sure there's APIs and things like that to make it easy to build those features into other programs as well. So look for that feature when Tiger is released. If you don't have the pro version of QuickTime, that's something I also really recommend getting. The one feature that's immediately available that comes in really handy is the ability to save QuickTime movies. off of the internet. If you just have the standard version of QuickTime, there's no easy way to save movies to your hard drive. There's obviously hack ways around it, and I know that there are, but with QuickTime Pro, you can just click the little downward triangle on the end and choose Save as Source and save out the QuickTime movies from the web. The other feature I use a lot is the ability to play QuickTime movies back in full screen mode, and then also just simple editing that's built into QuickTime Pro. So I've always purchased QuickTime Pro. I know that if you're a version 6 owner, when version 7 comes out, you're going to have to buy version 7 again, which is kind of unfortunate, but at only $29.95 US, I think that's the standard price. It's a great deal and very helpful. So I don't know about you guys, but every time I hear these new features that are going to be built into Tiger, I just get more and more excited. This QuickTime thing is just one more thing that makes me really hyped about picking up Tiger. So I'm looking forward to that coming out in April, and I can hardly wait. So, okay, I think all the news is done, and we can move on to feedback. The biggest thing this week, at the end of this week here, that I've been getting in terms of feedback is we had a question, how to manage podcasts, and there was a lot of feedback on this, and it actually has ended up being too much for me to relate back on the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and copy the emails and suggestions and post them to the MacCast feedback site. That site's at mcfeedback.blogspot.com. So if you want to read through all the suggestions for managing podcasts, the one thing that was clearly evident is that the biggest issue facing kind of managing podcasts is how to delete old podcasts, how to identify which podcasts you've listened to on your iPod or listened to in iTunes, and how to delete those off. We talked a little bit that smart playlists seems to be the way to go, and using the play count feature of iTunes in your iPod. The only issue there is you have to make sure that the track plays through to the end. The one suggestion I was given that does help is if you use the little triangle on your iPod. As you're playing the track, you push the button, you'll get the little triangle, and then you can use the scroll wheel to move the track, move forward in the track or move back in the track. A listener told me that you can actually move that triangle all the way to the end, and then it will actually automatically register that track was played. And I did test that in iTunes, and that worked. I have not been able to test it on my iPod, but I would assume it works in the same way. So on a previous podcast, I gave you guys a little sample of what you can do in GarageBand with loops, and it came from a listener who was just a financial analyst, worked in the financial industry, and is a kind of a closet musician at night, and he just basically took the stock loops that were in GarageBand and threw them together and created a little piece of music. Well, I got another piece of great music from a listener, Dorothy. And Dorothy was looking for some music to put into an iMovie she was working on. She had taken a trip to the Getty Museum last year and was doing something in iMovie and needed some music for it. Well, it turns out she's somewhat of a composer, and she put together a little piano loop that she sent me, and I wanted to play that for you guys because I think this was a really nice little piano loop. It's only about a minute long, so it's short, and I just thought you'd like to hear it. So here it is. So isn't that nice? you know, just put together with GarageBand. It's just amazing what you can do. If you haven't checked out GarageBand, I highly recommend you check it out. Play with the loops feature and see what you can put together on your own. It's amazing. Great tool, especially, you know, in this case, like Dorothy was trying to do, put together a backing track for maybe a slideshow or a iMovie you're putting together, so you can create your own original music very easy and very quickly. I've had a lot of people do it, and they're truly amazed at how simple it is. I have a link to Dorothy's movie from the show notes if you want to see the actual movie from her trip to the Getty Museum. Dorothy's actually been sending me quite a bit of stuff. She's an artist in Santa Monica, California, and you might want to visit her website. It's tigerbright.com. She does some great illustration and some great graphic design work if you want to check that out. And I want to say thanks to her, too. She sent me a iTunes gift certificate, so I really appreciate that as a little thank you for the show. And I thank all you guys for sending all this stuff in, because it really helps make the show great and keeps it going. I want to talk about another person right now real quickly. It is Colm at the Culmination. He is a podcast that I listen to, something you guys might want to check out. I really enjoy it. They basically just talk about video games, sports, just whatever's on his mind that particular day. Movies, they talk a lot about movies, different movies that they enjoy watching. So it's kind of an audio blog type podcast. I've been enjoying listening to it. We've been having a little back and forth between the Culmination and myself. The website is www.thatimage.com/culmination, and his last name is Colman, Josh Colman, so it's Colmination, a little play on words, so it's not misspelled, it's just as actually his last name. So check that out if you're looking for a new podcast, something a little different, the Culmination. All right, last thing tonight, I want to tell you about a couple additions to the MacCast website, maccast.com. I had a listener, Anthony, who sent me in a little badge. So if you are interested in linking to the MacCast, we have a nice little badge that you can put on your website that links directly to the MacCast website. You can find that over on the right-hand side. Just scroll down a little bit and look for the MacCast badge. Click on that, and then you can actually copy and paste. There's two versions. There's an animated version and just a static version. And then also, we now have MacCast wallpapers. So if you want to download and have a MacCast desktop, Rob over at plasmadesign.co.uk sent a MacCast wallpaper. That's also available in the same spot. If you look over on the left-hand side of the MacCast.com website, scroll down a little bit, and you will see the MacCast wallpaper. You can download that. It's a zip file. It has a bunch of different sizes and supports all the way up to the 30-inch monitor. So several sizes there for you to choose from. All right, that's the show for this evening. Go over, check out the new feedback blog, mcfeedback.blogspot.com. That's an audio-enabled blog, so you can actually, there's instructions up there at the top if you want to call in and leave an audio comment. It'll automatically get posted for the site to that site, and I can pick it up there, and then also other listeners can respond to it. Visit the regular website, maccast.com, for the show notes and links to everything we talked about in the show. You can always contact me, maccast@gmail.com, or call the audio call-in number 206-222-2788. All right, that's the show. Going to leave you tonight with new music from GarageBand artist Sci-Fi Lullaby. This track is called The Death of Me. I hope you enjoy it, and I will see you all next time.
This trip is about, yeah. Sometimes you fake it, and sometimes you gotta just do without. Yeah, well, I hope you live forever, but this life will be the death of me. Ooh.
is starting to break down on me, but we still have each other. Though sometimes I think you're getting ripped off, yeah, and you see, compared to others, you will never have a man at the top. No, well, I hope you live forever, but this life will be the death of me. But this life will be the death of me and you, and the things we do to pass the time in this crazy zoo. And all along we understood they just made it worse, but it felt so good. Oh, slowly falling, we're too high to stay forever and always be together. Slowly falling, I'm too low to go on. Well, I hope you live forever, but this life will be the death of me. Oh,